Welcome to Bethel Cleveland's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy today's message. For more information on this podcast or how to get connected, go to BethelCleveland.com.
Hey, a couple things real quick. We are heading into the new year next year, next week. And we're doing something a little different, something I've been doing since 1989, reading through the Bible in a year. And I've got a particular Bible that I use. It's a New King James Version with daily reading. I really like it because it has like January 1st, then the reading, and you get a little bit of Old Testament, New Testament, and Psalms and Proverbs. This one, I don't think you get it. And mine, I get a little bit of a commentary or devotional at the end with a scripture for the day. So we have some of these out at the back table. I'm not sure how many, but those of you who have joined our group, we have over 200 people in our group already. And we're going to have a great time. Ashley, come up here just for a minute. Bring that microphone with you there. That's right. Come on up. She didn't know she was coming, so give Ashley a hand here. She's Ashley. It's my daughter, Ashley, and she changed her name some years ago. She got married. So we're doing a podcast together where we've been spending about a year and a half now since you had this kind of a visitation from God, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, you want to speak in your microphone? Tell us a little bit about that. What happened?
Well, if you would like to hear the full story, you can listen to our Mother's Day message.
Yeah.
But I, a little over a year ago, got into the Word daily, and it just radically transformed my life. So.
Yeah. So we've been talking like every day.
Yes.
Five times a day, sometimes. Yesterday was probably eight times a day.
Yep.
And she, what was your summation of Job? Do you remember that? While she was doing laundry, she went through what, 30 chapters?
I was a little behind in my Bible reading, so I went through 34 chapters of Job yesterday. I don't recommend because it can be quite depressing.
Oh, that's a good advertisement.
Yes,
for
it can be.
Come get
doing
depressed.
34 in one day is very depressing. But I was reading it and I realized that Job lived his life above reproach so that when the time of testing came, he could stand on his testimony. Yeah.
That's it.
That's what I got. That summed up Job.
Yeah. They don't have to read Job now. No. They're just. So Ashley's been using a different, we finally came to agreement. We're using the same one now,
yes.
Mine. And it was a short conversation. But this is a good one, and this will help you out on your little journey. Any other comment on what we're going to be doing?
You can also get this one-year Bible the one that you have. The one-year Bible?
This one?
No, this one.
Yes.
That is also found in the Bible YouVersion app as well.
YouVersion, yeah.
Yeah, so you can go through it in the app with us, or you can purchase a copy and go through it with us.
Did they have the audio on there too?
Yes, you can listen to it. It depends on
you can
on what
listen
translation
to it on your way to work
reading.
Or something like that. So, yeah. Anyway, we decided next year.
Okay.
Give her another hand. That was really good. We decided next year we wanted to go through the same readings together, and then we kept talking. We thought, why don't we just invite everyone to do that? And so we think this year coming up is going to be full of a lot of interesting things culturally. It really is. Already it is. And so we wanted to firm ourselves up in scripture, get to know the scripture. So we're doing this podcast. It'll be about once a week dropping. I don't know if it's going to be on the same day or how it's going to happen, but we are going to do a little intro next week, right after January 1st, just to get everyone on board. So you've got the gear you need, you know what you're going to be doing, how you're going to be a part of it. If you want to just drop in periodically, you can do that. And then once a week, Ashley and I are going to talk for about 30 or 40 minutes about what we're reading. So we're excited about it. We do it anyway, so we're just broadening the phone call that we have every day and inviting all of you in to be with us. So if you want to join us, you still can. We do have a Facebook page. It's called Flourish, right? That's right. It's what Jacob said, Flourish, and you can become a part of it. Also, if you're a little less assertive or aggressive and you want to go through maybe the book of John in a year, I'm sorry? Book of John in a year. Yeah, this is a great one. It's got the Passion Translation in it. And we have this, do we have this out at the back table too? Yeah, it's kind of got a leatherette type feel to it. And you look in it, it has October 2nd. It's got scripture that's in John, the particular one, a brief devotional there, and then at the end, a prayer that you can pray with the author, Brian Simmons, who's doing that. Brian Simmons is coming in March to our spring conference. We're very excited about that. And by the way, it is sold out. Yeah. 750 people. So that's the next prayer we're going to have, is a miracle of where to seat everybody, but we're going to do that. Also, we have this 40 Reasons to Trust God out in our little bookstore there for kids. You may want to check that out. Is that everything, front row? We're all done? Okay, good. Open your Bibles, if you could, to Isaiah 7. My name is Steve Witt, and I am on staff here. And it's a great place to work. I was out trying to buy a car this week. I didn't buy it, but I talked with the, is he here? Antoine, are you here today? Look across. I talked to him quite a bit. Found out he was a Christian halfway through our conversation. We're having a great time. You know, I was getting ready to lead him to the Lord. No need. He was already led to the Lord, and he's from Strongsville. He passes by here all the time. And I said, well, tell me what your thoughts have been. He goes, we've been going by there for years. We saw it when there was nothing on the property. You know, so he's giving me this whole report of an outsider. It was fascinating. He said, what are you doing there right now? I see all these machines there. Like, he and his wife talk about this every day when they drive by our property, you know. And she says, I saw when you cleared it out, and then you tore that house down, and then you put a building up, and then another building, and said, you, things are happening. He said, then you have this big festival where everybody comes, and I see this, like, big party going on, and there's cars everywhere parked all over the grass and down the streets. He said, you're kind of like that thing over Mapleside over there. I said, well, kind of, yeah, it's... not quite the same. And he said, but it looks like things are happening there. I said, they are, man. God's really moving in very powerful ways. So I might buy a car from him. But we had a great conversation. And he gave me some insight that people are watching when they go by here. They're watching us grow. They're watching God do great things. We really believe that God's going to do amazing things. He loves us, and he's got an amazing plan for our lives. So we're getting ready for that. We're preparing for that. And thank you, everyone, for being on board with that as we move along. Isaiah 7, I gotta get rid of the screen here, okay. Advent, which we are concluding right now, it's the season of, you know, there's many different understandings of it, but it's really a drawing near. As the Lord draws near to us, we are drawing near to him. I love that scripture says that, you know, you draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto you. There's this magnetic thing when hunger meets the creator of the universe. And if you've got hunger in your heart today, I've got good news for you. The babe Jesus grew up. He's doing quite well right now. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming back again. And so your hunger that we search in so many different places for, through whatever, wealth, careers, you know, relationships, some of these, there's nothing necessarily bad about those, but those become our focus, and we're hoping it's going to fulfill that void that we have, that what Augustine said, that God-shaped vacuum that's in our heart, you know, and there's all these pieces you try to fit in, but it doesn't really fill that spot, you know. But this is the season of the Advent where we draw near, and I love the fact that we live in a country that acknowledges that. And, you know, people are out there debating, are trees a pagan thing? You know, I've read all the stuff on social media and everything. And, you know, or is this really just a religious version of a secular holiday and all this different thing like that? It really kind of doesn't matter right now. We own it. We own it. Now, materialism is trying to draw the attention away. But if you can clear yourself out, but with the traffic in this area in Strongsville is unbelievable. It's a frenzy, man. Well, yesterday was like incredible. But everyone's getting out there to get those last minute gifts. We get that. We understand that, you know. But when all that clears away, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the filler of the void in your heart that you've been looking to try to fill all those years. I'm telling you, a life in Christ, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. The things you've longed for, that bucket list that you have, it'll come, but it's in Jesus Christ. I get that revelation more and more every year during this Advent season. God tends to move a little closer in. I don't know if you feel it or not. I do at times. Whether this was the actual day he was born on, it doesn't matter. We're honoring him on this day. We're worshiping him on this day, on tomorrow's day. But it's a moment that we set aside to look at him. And if you do that, there's something about that where the Lord will reveal himself to you. Even as a believer, he communicates to you. I mean, there's so many stories I could tell over the years where in that drawing near, what the Irish Celts used to talk about in the 5th and 6th century, you know, that thin place. Have you ever been in a thin place where you feel like, oh, it's just like, I mean, I got to say, when Tony was playing the saxophone today, I was feeling a thin place there. I was like, wow. You could just feel the move of the Spirit of God as he's such an excellent musician and singer. We're so glad to have him with us here in this church. But you could feel the ladies that are up here singing and the guys that are playing and all that together. You know, when you cloud out all those other things in your life and you begin to focus on the manger of Jesus Christ, something connects with the Lord, and the Lord begins to heal your heart and begins to woo you into a deeper walk with him. And as I begin to read these scriptures, first out of the Old Testament, and then the New Testament, in honor of our podcast coming up next week, we're going to hit Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. In the midst of all of that, we're going to see Christ all over scripture, you know. And that this event that happened, his actual birth, was the fulfillment of something like 367, I believe, prophecies out of the Old Testament. So for hundreds of years, actually Isaiah, some of us don't realize it, Isaiah was in the time 700 years prior to Christ. And he is prophesying into the future about a virgin birth. I don't even know that they fully comprehended what they were saying. Because sometimes the Lord gives me a prophetic word and I give it and I don't know what that was, but you know, if it works, fine. If not, just put it on the shelf for a while. Maybe it'll mean something a year from now. But they're in the Old Testament prophets, they are declaring about a Messiah that's coming back, a hope that would come that would restore mankind. And so in Isaiah chapter 7, we're going to go in chapter 7, verse 14 first. In this governmental time of distress, I mean, there's so much going on, and there's so much that I could talk about that I normally do on a Sunday, but this is not that Sunday, but you know what I mean. And the stress of culture and the stress of all that we have and the extreme dimness of Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 8. When you read Isaiah 7, 8, and 9, you would think that they could fit right over America right now, the distresses of the moment. And so there was a need for encouragement. And out of that moment, Isaiah, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declares something into the future that's going to bring hope. Actually, something that they will never experience in their lifetime. But it's a hope they can hang on to. Do you know that hope is tangible? Hope changes your life. If you're going through a distressful day and someone speaks something of hope, it recalibrates your very soul. And you start to think different. You start to look different. You start to act different. You start to walk different. You know, hope brings that to you. And the Bible says that faith is a substance of things hoped for. Your faith in Christ was actually birthed out of hope somewhere. And so Jesus Christ is the promised hope. In Isaiah 7, in the midst of darkness, verse 14, it says this, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign." Listen to this. 700 years prior, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," or "God with us," or literally, "with us is God." In the shadows of despair and death, there was an opportunity being spoken about to start over. That is really what the birth of Christ is all about. Jesus is the prophetic word sent from heaven. John chapter 1 verifies that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. I mean, it descended and took on the form of man, dwelt among us. We did not comprehend it. did not understand. They didn't understand who Jesus was in that day. But don't be mistaken. He was sent as a word. He was sent as a declaration. He was sent as somebody who would ring down through the ages, there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope for your life. There's hope for the despair. I just heard a story of somebody the other day and the despair of what they've been through, and it was horrible. I mean, it was eons beyond what I've ever experienced in my life of hopelessness, you know. And I heard the story, and at the end of it, there was this spark that came. It was the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And sometimes even without understanding the fullness of what Jesus was and even his death, burial, and resurrection and all that happened to him and the fact that he's coming again, you don't have to have all that knowledge. You just have to have an encounter with Jesus and you make a choice, you make a turn to say, I'm going to follow him. And when you do that, the seed, just like it was in Mary, the seed of Christ, the Bible calls it the seed of Christ, is put in you. I remember some years back, the Lord was really stretching me and talking in public about Jesus Christ outside of this big room, you know. It was in 2018. And so I started, the Lord gave me a little phrase, are you a Jesus follower? And I asked many people that. I said, are you a Jesus follower? And they would answer, you know. I only had one rejection in the years that I used that. But I'd go up to someone just randomly and say, hey, are you a Jesus follower? And they'd go, well, why do you ask that? And I said, I'm just curious. Or I'll say, I saw something on you, or I heard something about you, or I sensed something about it, or it was just had this feeling about you, whatever it was. People do not get that on a daily basis. And if you start doing that, it freaks people out. Are you a Jesus follower? Are you AJF? And many of them respond with a denominational name. They'll say, well, I'm Catholic or I'm Protestant. And the Lord taught me early on to don't disagree with that. Don't make a big deal out of it. Just commend them. Well, that's good. But that's not what I asked. Are you a Jesus follower? That next question takes them right to the door of their soul. And they have to make a decision. Most people like Jesus whether they follow him or not. So they don't want to say that they're not following him. They go, well, you know, I'd like to think I am, or kinda. You know, and that's your cue to know that they don't know what they're talking about and you need to share the love of Jesus with them, you know. But it's always about sharing hope in the midst of darkness. I went up to this soldier in Chick-fil-A one day. You'd think everyone in Chick-fil-A is a believer. But they're not. I went up to him and I said, excuse me, sir. He's probably about 22 years old, had his military uniform on. I said, I know you're in a hurry. You'd eat your food and everything. Can I just ask you one question? I said, are you a Jesus follower? He said, well, I don't know. I'm not. No, I'm not. And I said, okay, would you like to follow Jesus? He said, well, I know my grandmother wants me to follow Jesus. So someone's been sowing seeds. And sure enough, he said, tell me about it. I said, well, right now, all you need to do is engage your faith toward him. Just say, I acknowledge you, Jesus. I acknowledge that you died for me. And I'm turning. I'm yielding my life to you. He said, yeah, I can do that. And I said, you need to do it in faith. You need to do it from your heart. He said, yeah, I can do that. So I prayed with him. He repeated words after me. He prayed a prayer and everything. But as I did, the Lord showed me to pretend like I was planting a seed in his heart. So I took the little seed, the invisible seed, and I touched his heart. And I said, I forget his name right now. I said, this day, I plant the seed of Christ in your life. If you allow that seed to begin to grow, you have a totally amazing destination in your life. You can go off and do your own thing. But if you yield right now to that seed, like Mary did, she said after she heard the story from the angel, like, wait, what? What? I'm not married. Yeah. Well, how's this even going to happen? Where you're going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Okay. So what's your response, Mary? Be it done unto me according to your word. And today and every year at this time, we should re-engage that. Say, I see the babe in the manger, that seed of Christ. Be it done unto me according to your word, Lord. Plant that seed in my heart deep. I want to fan the flame of that. I'm going to mix my metaphors here. I want to bring forth the seed of Christ, that Christ may become who I walk, who I live, that I have the mind of Christ. That's where we all want to go. We're followers of Jesus. We mimic him. That's what Scripture says. We mimic him so that we can be like him. And he sent us his Holy Spirit to help shape him into his very image. So Isaiah is prophesying that. Go over to Isaiah 9 now. Let's look at this. About this great seed. Very, very small seed. Christ squeezed into that little small seed. It was planted into the womb of Mary. Isaiah 9 verse 2 through 7 says this. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Now he's talking about people 700 years prior to Christ, speaking of the difficulties that they are really in at that moment. I could prophesy this over the nation right now. People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. This is all about this babe. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. In other words, a happy time of great blessing that's been given to you. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Verse 6, look at this. For unto us a child is born. A child. They wanted a king and they got a child. They wanted a king on a white stallion coming in with the sword drawn. That's what they wanted. That's what the Jews wanted. But instead they get a child. But this is a child disruptor. This child, when you invite this child, that seed in your heart, that child begins to grow. Everything in your life is going to be reinterpreted according to the wills and purposes of God. He owns the owner's manual. He is the owner, and we've yielded ourselves fully to him. So on this day, we celebrate a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And listen to this prophecy attached to it. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called. He's got a multitude of names. And they describe who he is. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. It's the convergence of Christ. The convergence of Christ, when you ask Jesus into your heart, everything in your life comes into this single river. You know, when rivers converge, creeks, whatever, whether you're tubing or you're in a kayak or whatever, you know, when you come to that place where rivers merge, there's turbulence, you know, there's a shaking that goes on. I've got a kayak, you know, and I like going out, and but you know, in a kayak, you want it to be pretty smooth. You get into the turbulence, you feel it, but you, my professor in seminary always said this thing years ago. He said, when you get married, it's convergence. It's the emerging of two mighty rivers. I had no idea at that time what he was really talking about. But the merging of lives can be turbulent for a while. They tell me the average is like 7 years. I've been married 45. Water's getting calmer. When two come together, but he said, stay in the boat. That's what he said in class. Stay in the boat, because downriver, it will get calmer. I don't know if that has to do with your marriage or what, but I'm just telling you, when you receive Christ, you're going to feel the contradiction of the life you've been living with the life that the Lord has given you. The one you've lived, the one he's given. Take the one that he's given. If I was a betting man, I'd go with that, because that's going to be the life that's going to bring you the fullness and the beauty and the wonderfulness of who Christ is himself, because Christ has shaped that life for you. So when you align yourself, when you begin to align yourself with Christ, it's a little rough. You've got two rivers coming together. But you know what? It's going to end up in a beautiful waterfall downriver a little bit. Prophetic words of Jewish history flew right into this moment of Isaiah, flowing right into the moment of the Gospels. When the Gospels came about, we see this convergence going on. In fact, turn with me over to Matthew to give you the New Testament side, Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to look at a few verses here, starting in verse 18, about this convergence of this season of Christ. I even feel spiritually, I don't want to get too weird on you here, but because this may just be something we've created this time and season right now of honoring the Lord. But there's something deeply spiritual about it. I found that out years ago, that some things you initiate that are actually good, it may not have been something God told you, but it's a good thing. You speak a blessing over someone. Did you know a blessing does not come from God? A blessing comes out of your own soul. You're speaking a preferred future. You're speaking goodness over that person. And it's a good thing to do. We'd call it encouragement. We'd call it comfort, whatever you might call it. The Bible calls it a blessing or prophetic. Actually, the Greek word for blessing is eulogy. We wait till people are dead before we eulogize them. We should be eulogizing one another every day. Speaking, the literal word is well words, speaking well words over one another. So when you do that, I found out over the years, if I do that even randomly out at Best Buy or Starbucks or wherever I am, it creates something. There's a dynamic that opens up, because when you speak what is the intention of the heart of God, the irrefutable truths about God and you, I can tell everyone in this room, God loves you. And God has an amazing plan for your life. You say, how do you know that? Because I know God. It's something he would say. And so I'm going to say it. Now here's what happens. When you say it, when you speak it, God partners with that. That can become something that changes someone's life, even though it originated in your heart. And so there's power when this convergence comes together, when you begin to speak things and do things. There's a power in this season to touch in an unusual way, maybe outside of Easter, Resurrection Sunday. So look at verse 18, Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ is as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. There it is. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public spectacle or example, was minded to put her away secretly. He was having cultural mercy on her. It's hard to understand this in our culture, but he was having mercy toward her and just trying to help her save face, you know. And so he put her away secretly. Verse 20, but while he thought about these things, I'd love to know those thoughts, you know. He's kind of made this arrangement to deal with this, so it's not a situation anymore, you know? And then he starts thinking about it. He's like, but I really love her. I don't understand this whole Holy Spirit thing. Like, I mean, it would be a difficult thing to get over, you know? But I don't know. And since while he thinks about it, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. By the way, we don't know a lot about Joseph, Jesus' father, his earthly father. One thing we do know is that he had four dreams. Probably more than any other New Testament character listed. So he was a dreamer. His wife, to be Mary, was devout. She was a word person in the Torah. Her Magnificat that she spoke, kind of sang and danced and spoke this song. It became a hymn in the first century, but most people believe it was spontaneous. And she was speaking up to 17 parts of Old Testament Torah scripture in her worshiping. She knew the word of God, even though she was young. He knew the things of the Spirit. He was a dreamer. You put the word and spirit together, got something really good happening there. And so it appears to him, this angel says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. So apparently he was afraid. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done. This is Matthew reporting this. All this was done so that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now, the question is, this is the season about a woman who received a seed that became Christ. Her life was changed by it. What are you going to do with your seed that Christ in you, the seed of Christ that's being planted in you? This Christmas season is where we meditate on this. The Catholics love to talk about Mary's pondering. She had four ponderings in Scripture. They were all about Jesus. When you're raising the Son of God, I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago. I mean, what does discipline look like? Jesus! What does it look like when you're raising the Son of God? I mean, there had to be a lot of pondering. You know, I recall the time when he was 12 years old, they were down in Jerusalem, and he wandered off. And for 3 days. You imagine when you're the mom and you find Jesus? God or no God? Where in the world were you? I was about my Father's business. That's one of the things she pondered. They held it in their hearts, but Joseph and Mary, like, who is this child? I know what the prophets said, but they didn't give me a manual of how to raise God in the flesh. And so there's a process that you go through as Christ is growing in you throughout your life. You're going to ponder a lot. You're going to wonder about things that you do not understand. I don't know about you. I ponder a lot of things. I'm like, I know God. I know his word. I've been reading his word. I study. But what was that, Lord? What is that? And it could be good, bad, or ugly. It doesn't matter. It's like, I need understanding. And sometimes you get it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to you. But a lot of times it's like, there's no voice there. You'll understand in time. Ponder. God is different than you are. This is a huge revelation. You say, no, he's like me. I like spaghetti. He does too. No, you were created in his image. He was not created in your image. Things will happen in your life that you have no understanding for. But someday, I'm convinced it's in the first second you're in heaven. It's going to be like this 1 second download, like, whew, and you go, ah. It could be the first 1,000 years you're going, oh, yeah. Yeah. You were there? Wow. Oh. And then if you meet your wife or someone else, you start talking with them like, oh, yes. I mean, it's going to be the conversations of heaven. As our ponderings get answered, he'll give you some down here on earth, but a whole lot of it is going to be in heaven. You know, Psalm 34 says this, and I'm going to close right now with this. He says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. For many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Let's stand together if we could. The convergence of Christ on this day that we celebrate tomorrow. Christ is born. Wow, it altered so many people's lives. I talked about it a little bit last week. Definitely Mary's life was altered. The Magi. We always wonder about the Magi. It's possible they were the first ones to know that the Christ was coming. They saw the star. They could have traveled up to 2 years before they came to the house where Mary was. Sorry, the Magi weren't in the manger, but doesn't set up quite right in your house if they're in a house somewhere else, you know. So we put them in the manger with that. We don't know if there were three of them. We don't know if they were kings. But some people came that were very wealthy and brought gifts that are estimated to be worth between, in today's dollars, $1.2 and $1.7 million. Pretty good gift. Pretty good baby shower there. That Jesus, who had to escape to Egypt, because it was also prophesied, that he'd have to do that. He'd eventually get back to his homeland up north in Galilee, in a town called Cana, be raised as a regular boy. We know the story. He gives his life for each one of us. And right now, all we need to do during this season, Christian, non-Christian, sinners, saints, just turn to him. Just turn to him. Like the thief on the cross. Possibly minutes or hours before death, he looks over at another guy on the cross. And somehow is moved. He starts off ridiculing him. It says in scriptures, both of them were ridiculing him. But something happened when he saw the response of Jesus, the mature Jesus at age 33, been through all that he had been, the sufferings of Christ on that cross. And the thief says, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? What powerful words when Jesus turned. Imagine being on your deathbed and the guy next to you is also dying. And he leans over and says, today you will be with me in paradise. What changed his life? Turning. He turned. All you have to do is turn away from all the stuff that's going on, noise and everything else. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And your life is about to enter into the most amazing adventure you could ever have because it's designed by God for you. Let's just close our eyes here a minute before the Lord. In just a minute, we're going to dismiss. And when we do, we have a gift for one gift for each family and or single or couple, basically a household, one gift per household that we will give you out there. It's nothing big. It's just a token of, hey, we love you. We remember you in this moment, whether you're alone, whether you're in a big crowd. You can be very much alone in a big crowd. But the Christ is here. And there's people here that are trying to follow him by the grace of God. We invite you into communion with us as we continue to follow him. But I pray for you right now. And I pray for the seed of Christ to come into your heart in a fresh and new way. May Christ be in you, the hope of glory. And I bless you this day with being filled with the Holy Spirit and his presence, that you will have hope that will last through all the things that 2024 is going to bring. Why? Because on Christmas Eve, you turned. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, let's repeat this together. We're going to repeat it, all of us together. But if you've never said this prayer, say it in faith as if you're talking to God. And let's just say this, Lord Jesus, on this day, I ask you to come into my life. I believe that you died on a cross for me. I am now forgiven. Change me, Lord. Mold me. Shape me into your image. From this day forward, I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that and you really meant it in your heart, you were born again. Many of us are repeating it, just reassuring ourselves. Yeah, yes, yes, I know. I have eternal life. We're gonna get a few people up here in the front, some of our team members, if you can come up here in the front real quick. Right when I dismiss you, we'll save stuff out there for you. You're not gonna miss anything. If you wanna bring your friends, you can. If you said that prayer for the first time or you've wandered away and you're coming back to the Lord, we welcome you. Just come forward. They're only going to keep you a few minutes. They want to pray for you. We have a book we'd like to give you. We want to bless you. Friends can come with you if you want. And just come up and say, hey, I prayed that prayer for the first time or I've been away from the Lord and I need your help. God bless you. Hey, we bless you in the name of Jesus. Merry Christmas. I hope you had a great day. As you're going out, be sure to get in that line. They'll be handing these gifts out to you real quick. If you do not have a church home, we'll see you next Sunday. We're going to be worshiping, having a wild time together in Jesus' name. God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to our Sermon of the Week. You can help us reach others by investing today at bethelcleveland.com/give.